you have your Bibles, I ask you to turn to the book of James. I don't know how long this series is going to last because we're going to go through this book together. And why this book? Because it, in my mind, it's one of the most practical, it's one of the most practical books of the whole Bible. It gives us what I call lessons in practical Christian living. You know, I can preach messages every week that talk about salvation, that talk about deliverance, that talk about a lot of different things, and those are all good, but what God's really been dealing with me about is the fact that as a pastor and as a leader, one of my jobs and one of my callings is to equip the church, to equip, to help each and every one of you become better equipped for living the everyday Christian life. And this little short book, there are all kinds of lessons and teaching that help us do that. So we're going to begin in James chapter 1. We're going to start right at the beginning, and I want to talk to you today about what I call the most important test you'll ever take. How many of us have ever taken a test? We've taken them at school. We've taken them probably at some point in our career. I had to take tests, all kinds of tests, when I was going through interview process for to be a deputy sheriff all those years ago. I had to take a psychological evaluation, and yes, believe it or not, I passed. Maybe I had somebody take that test for me. I don't know. But anyhow, I passed that one. And I've taken tests for promotions in the military. We've all taken all kinds of tests. And one of the tests that probably makes us the most nervous, yet it's the most exciting, is that day we go take that test to get our driver's license. You know, here we are. We're ready. We get that license, and we're ready to take over the world. But life kind of gives us all kinds of tests. And some of those tests maybe seem more important than others. And in these first few verses of James chapter 1, I want us to think about this. He talks about what I consider the most important test we're ever going to face, and it's the testing of our faith. The testing of our faith. And I want us to read just a few verses together. We're going to look at James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to kind of skip down to verse 12. So let's just start reading this together. He says, James... He's introducing himself here. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And then in verse 12, he says this, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I just pray your blessing on the reading and the teaching of your word today. Lord, just open the word to us and help us to learn something today that helps us be a better follower and a disciple of Jesus Christ. We ask it all in your name. Amen. The most important test you will ever take. And I told you this is kind of like lessons in practical Christian living. So when we look at this test, what are some of the lessons that we need to understand about testing, the testing of our faith? And one of the first lessons that James teaches us is the importance of how we respond to those tests or those trials. He says, consider it pure joy whenever. Consider it pure joy whenever. He doesn't say, if you face trials. He says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials and tests of many kinds. The testing of your faith. Now, why does it matter how we respond to these tests. Why does that matter? It's because the testing of our faith has a purpose. And I know we didn't always understand it at the time, but the tests that we've taken in life had a purpose. Those tests that they gave us in school had a purpose. And the testing of our faith is just like that. It has a purpose. Sometimes we don't like tests. Sometimes if we know we're going to have a test at school, it just makes us all nervous. We can go home at night and we think about, oh, I got a test tomorrow. Have I studied enough for it? Have I done this? Am I prepared for this test? They make us nervous. They cause us to worry and fret. So sometimes we don't approach them with the right attitude. We wonder why we need to take that algebra test anyway. I mean, come on, we know we're never going to use algebra again once we get out of that crazy class anyhow. And when you think of it that way, then we got to ask ourselves the question, what's the point in even taking the class to begin with? And in case you haven't figured it out yet, I don't like algebra. You know why? Because I wasn't very good at it. I never really understood it. I still don't understand it. I still, to this day, I don't think numbers and the alphabet go together. I just don't. 1X, Y, Z, A, B, C, I. When you're working with positive numbers and all of a sudden the number's negative, I don't, whatever. Back to the sermon. The purpose of testing of our faith, what is it? The purpose of testing is to make us stronger. Now, I want us to understand this difference. I'm going to give you a little bit of a glimpse for next week because there's a contrast here. The purpose of testing is to make us stronger. Next week's sermon is dealing with temptation because later in the chapter, James talks about temptation. I want us to understand the difference between testing and temptation. Testing is designed to make us stronger, and we're going to look at how the testing of our faith does that. Temptation is designed to defeat us, and I want us to understand those differences, so we'll look at that some next week. But how does the testing of our faith make us stronger? It says it develops perseverance. The testing of your faith develops perseverance. Now, what is that? If you look according to the original Greek, the original language, the word for perseverance means that we not only bear things, we not only face things like persecution and suffering, but we're able to turn that persecution and suffering into greatness and glory. It means that we don't just suffer things, but we overcome them. Now, once again, one of my favorite commentators is William Barclay, and here's what he says about it. He goes, the effect of testing born in the right way, that means when we face it in the right way, the effect of testing born in the right way is strength to bear still more testing and to conquer it in still harder battles. See, perseverance is what I heard one preacher many years ago called stick-to-itiveness. Now, I know that's probably not a real word, at least according to the spell check on my computer, but it's a word that stuck with me. It's a word I can understand. What does stick-to-itiveness mean? It means that we never give up. It means we never quit. It means we never quit fighting, but we keep fighting harder and harder the harder the battle gets. We determine we're not going to let this thing defeat us. And my determination as a Christian is to become stronger and stronger and become more and more like Christ instead of just constantly living on that edge where I'm just trying to get by. Perseverance. The testing of our faith helps us develop that character and that trait so that as we continue to go through life and as we continue to face tests that make us question things, then we become stronger and we're able to overcome it. James tells us that if we face testing in the right way, then perseverance is one of the results of that test. He goes on to say that the testing of our faith leads to maturity. Some translations use the word perfection here. We're not talking about a literal human perfection. None of us are ever going to be perfect in the human sense. We have faults, we have failures, we have shortcomings. We are not perfect physically or humanly, but what it's talking about is the sense of being fit for the job that God sends us into the world to do. Maturity means I recognize and realize what it is God has called me to do, and then he equips me, and I allow him through the testing of my faith, we allow him to equip us to do that job to the very best of our ability. He goes on to say the testing of our faith makes us complete. It means entire, perfect in every part. You see, gradually the perseverance that comes from testing of our faith enables us to conquer old sins, to shed old blemishes, and to gain new virtues until, in the end, we become entirely fit for the service of God and of one another. Once again, that's how William Barclay describes this word complete. Then we can experience what James describes as not lacking anything. Not lacking anything. Is that really possible? I think it is if we're following Christ the best we know how. The testing of our faith makes us complete. And here's the other thing. The testing of our faith, I think, proves our faith. Now, what do I mean by that? The testing of my faith and how I respond to the testing of my faith demonstrates whether my faith is genuine or not. It's easy for us to respond in a positive way when everything's going well, right? How do I respond to that test when everything doesn't go well? See, that's when people really see what we're made of, so to speak. So the testing of my faith proves whether my faith is genuine and how I respond to that. So that's the importance. That's why it's important for us to understand and respond to testing in the right way. Now, while I was thinking and praying about this message, God brought someone to my mind as an example of what testing our faith might look like. His name's Joseph. His story starts in Genesis chapter 37. He's the youngest son of Jacob. Now, the Bible tells us that Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other sons. Yes, the Bible actually tells us that. If you go back and read Genesis 37, you'll find those exact words. Now, we all know that's probably going to cause problems, right? And it did. It caused problems with Joseph and his other brothers. He loved Joseph so much that he made him a special robe. You know, Dolly Parton sang a song years and years ago called The Coat of Many Colors. And the Bible tells us this robe, this special robe that Jacob had made for Joseph was this, it was very colorful. It was ornamental, and it was something very special for him. And he was the only brother that had one, the only son that had one. And all this special treatment Joseph received caused his brothers to hate him. You see, that's a pretty strong word. It's a strong word because that's what the Bible says. Genesis 37 tells us that his brothers hated him. And they hated him so much, they even planned to kill him. Because one day they're out working in the fields and they're out doing what they're supposed to be doing. And Jacob sends Joseph to go find him and talk to him and take him supplies. And when they see him coming from a distance, they say, here comes that dreamer. Why do they call him that? Because Joseph had a lot of dreams. But we also know, if you read Joseph's entire story, we know that he had the ability to interpret dreams for other people. And it seems that Joseph had had this dream that basically, when he told his brothers about it, it basically meant that one day, if his dream came true, his father and all of his brothers would bow to him and actually serve him, that he would be an authority over them. Well, they didn't like it. He was the youngest. So the brothers got an idea. They said, we're just going to kill him. We're going to kill him, and then we're going to take his, we're going to mess his coat up. We're going to kill an animal. We're going to put blood on it. We're going to take his special coat back to dad and say, hey, Joseph got attacked by a wild animal, and this is all we found. He's dead. So while they were plotting this out, they threw him. They dropped him in this old dry cistern, an old well. And the Bible says that while Joseph's in this well and they're plotting his demise, they're sitting up along the outside of the well eating their lunch, right? I mean, come on. We've all had sibling rivalries, right? I mean, I've fought with my brothers. But I've never thrown them in a dry well and planned to kill them. I mean, how badly do you have to hate someone in order for that to happen? So Joseph's down in this well. They're sitting up there eating lunch and talking about how they're going to get rid of him. Now stop and think about it for a minute. Do you think his faith is being tested just a little bit here? Your brothers gang up on you. They drop you in an empty well. They leave you there while they eat their lunch. And they finally decide not to kill you, but they're going to sell you instead to a band of gypsies who are on their way to Egypt. Then they go home and tell Dad that you were attacked and eaten by a wild animal. Here's one of the ways that Joseph's life talks about his faith being tested. His faith was being tested through the betrayal of his own brothers and his own family members. Have you ever felt like you were betrayed by someone in your own family? In some way or another, have you ever felt like someone just took advantage of you and took advantage of your trust and betrayed you in some way? Your own family? I would think that would test our faith. But remember, the testing of your faith develops perseverance. The ability to overcome. The ability to turn our testing into greatness and glory. So his brothers sell him to this band of gypsies basically on their way to Egypt. So once he gets to Egypt, Joseph gets sold again. He gets sold to a man named Potiphar. Now Potiphar he's like Pharaoh's right-hand man. He's the captain of the guard in service to Pharaoh. And in Genesis chapter 39, verse 2, it says this. I want you to think about this. He's just been betrayed by his brothers. He's been sold into slavery, and now he's been sold again. But it says the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered. Verse 3 goes on to say that the Lord gave him success in everything he did. Do you think his testing had a purpose? God's blessing him. His family's betraying him. They've sold him for a few pieces of silver, but God's blessing him. And he's such an impressive young man that Potiphar put Joseph in command of his entire household. And before too long, Potiphar's wife had other plans for Joseph. And she tried to seduce him. The Bible says that she noticed Joseph was well built physically and that he was an attractive man. And she determined that she was going to figure out a way to get Joseph to sleep with her. And she kept trying and she kept trying. It goes on for a while until one day when Joseph is in the house attending to his other duties, she grabs him by his coat and tries to get him to sleep with her, and he runs out of the house. But as he runs out of the house, she has a hold of his outer garment and it pulls his robe off. So then she makes up a story. She tells the other servants, "Go find my husband. Joseph has tried to take advantage of me." So Potiphar comes home and his wife tells him this story, makes up this whole false story about what's going on, and ends up with Joseph being thrown in prison. So now his faith is being tested because of his moral integrity. His moral integrity. He stood up. He did what was right. He refused to sleep with another man's wife. He refused to be unfaithful to God. He refused to sin in that way. And even though he did what he knew was right, he still ends up in prison because someone made up a false accusation against him. Do you think his faith is being tested? Let me just tell you something this morning. You want your faith to be tested? Let someone make up a false story about you and then spread it around. I mean, we hear about it all the time. We hear about it all the time. But when it happens to you, Just try going through that without it testing your faith. His faith is being tested, but don't forget, the testing of our faith develops perseverance. He's in prison. But once again, he's such an impressive person, an impressive young man, that the warden ends up putting him in charge of all the other prisoners and the day-to-day events in the prison. Why? Once again, in Genesis chapter 39, this time in verse 23, we see these words. The Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. His faith continues to be tested. He continues to be faithful to God. And as he goes through this process of testing, God continues to bless him. Why? Because he's being faithful and he's passing the test. The story goes on with Joseph. Eventually, he becomes Pharaoh's second in command. Pharaoh's had a dream. And if we understand that dream, he talks about, and Joseph interprets that dream for him, and he sees these cows coming up, and some of them are fat, and then he sees cows coming up, and some of them are so skinny, you can see the bones and stuff. And Joseph was telling him, well, the fat cows represent 7 years of abundance in the land of Egypt. We're going to have record crops. Everything is going to be better than what you've ever experienced. He said the second part of the dream represents the 7 years of famine and drought that are going to take place after that. So Joseph is telling Pharaoh the importance of making sure they prepare for this. And Pharaoh's so impressed with Joseph, he says, well, then I'm going to put you in charge of it. You're going to determine how we handle the years of plenty. You are going to determine how we handle the years of famine. You're going to determine and decide who gets how much grain and all this other kind of stuff through all these years. So he was the man in charge. He decided how to manage the grain and food resources of Egypt. And when the famine became so severe in all the surrounding countries, Joseph made the decision to start selling some of their grain and food to the other countries around them, but they had to come there to get it. Well, back in his hometown, his dad, Jacob, and all his other brothers are sitting around. We're in a famine. We don't have anything to eat. Egypt is selling grain. Dad looks at him and says, why are y'all just sitting around here? Go to Egypt and get us some food. So they make the journey, and when they get there, they approach Joseph. They're waiting in line. They approach Joseph and they get there and he recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. And after some back and forth, some questions and answers and some, Joseph's kind of making them jump through some hoops, okay? But after some back and forth, we finally find out that Joseph introduces himself to him. He makes himself known to them. He identifies himself. And in Genesis chapter 45, beginning with verse 4, we find this. It says, Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. And when they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here. Now listen to this. Because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Joseph's faith is now being tested in how he responds to being reunited with his brothers and with his family. Oh, he could have been mad. But in Genesis 50, we see that his brothers are afraid he's going to hold a grudge. See, now Jacob has died. Dad's dead. And their fear was that Joseph had been nice to him because their father was still alive. But once father has died, then we don't know how he's going to react. And they're afraid he's going to hold a grudge against them. They're worried that he's going to pay them back for all the wrongs that they did to him. But in Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 through 21, Joseph tells them this, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended harm to me, But God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Do you think Joseph's faith has been tested in all of this? I do. See, every time he turned around, no matter what decision he made, he tried to do the right thing, and it only caused him more problems until it finally put him in a place where he could carry out God's original purpose for his life. But it would not have happened had he responded to the testing of his faith in the wrong way. He could have held a grudge. He could have chosen revenge. He could have made their lives miserable for all the things that he went through because of them. But Joseph responded. He reacted to the test in the right way. He allowed the testing of his faith to develop perseverance. He allowed the testing of his faith to lead to maturity and perfection. He allowed the testing of his faith to prove his faith. He allowed it to make him stronger. And because he approached the testing of his faith in the right way, God was able to accomplish his purpose and his plan. Remember verse 12? Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because when he stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Joseph stood the test. And he was blessed because of it. So that brings us to us. How do I respond? How do I react when my faith is being tested? How do I react when it seems like everything I do, I try to do the right thing, and everything I do leads to some other problem? We just keep being faithful anyway. And we go back to what James tells us. Let's decide. My encouragement to you today, I guess my instruction for us is this. Let's decide that we're going to consider it pure joy when we face testing. Because the testing of our faith is the most important test we'll ever take. And if we respond in the right way, it'll develop and establish perseverance in our hearts, in our lives, in our Christian walk. Why is that important? Because how we respond is going to make all the difference in what God is able to accomplish in us and through us. The testing of our faith, the most important test we'll ever take. And I know that when tests come our way, it's easy sometimes to sit around and complain. It's easy to sit there and think, woe is me. It's easy to question, why do I have to go through this? But if we'll just be faithful and see it through, God will bless us and it'll make us stronger and able to face the next test and trial that comes our way.